Bishop in the Lancaster Conference. Hyacinth is a bishop in the Lancaster Conference. Historic role and title and movement is one of two of the first women of color, first Black woman to be a bishop and first woman with the two. Yes, it's historic. Over 300 years, they have only had white male bishops. So praise God. And Hyacinth is also a board member of Menno House. So she's been instrumental in helping us to provide oversight and support to that. Quick note, also, as we've been doing the abolition curriculum, Hyacinth was the key architect for the diversity curriculum that many of us participated in for 4 weeks leading up to the abolition curriculum. So she has a lot of influence, a lot of blessing, and we are grateful for your presence and your husband Ben and two of your children. Thank you for being with us as well. Let's welcome Bishop Hyacinth.
Good evening, friends. It's good to be here. Can you hear me okay? I think so. It's good to be here this evening and just want to share, I think, as friends this evening. In preparation, when Pastor Jason asked for me to share and also reference like Black History Month and things like that, just trying to be prayerful about how to be in community together and realizing that what does community look like as we are travelers? Jesus was a traveler and traveled and bore witness in communities of the good news. And so although I am not in your community with you every week, I am a traveler with you on the journey of representing Christ where we go and where those communities give us an opportunity to intersect and cross paths. And so very interestingly enough, this text seems almost like it should be at the end of the Lenten season, right? It's not often a text that we use at the beginning. It's often a text that is part of like a Good Friday service or some other type of journey at towards the end, getting ready for this wonderful resurrection time. But as I've been thinking about the Lenten season this year, part of one of my reflections and thinking about new rhythms is how do we stay awake? What is happening? And I heard some awakening as you did the morning disciple or evening discipleship, introducing the abolitionist curriculum. That is an opportunity to stay awake. And so I think Lent is the season for both reflection, for lament, for prayer, for fasting, but also this awakening. What as we take these seasons of pause and reflection, will Christ awaken us in us? What will the Holy Spirit awaken in us? What is the prophetic utterance that is happening in community that Christ wants us to be awakened to? And so this text about being in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is invited some close personal friends to be with him in one of the most painful parts of a commitment. Whoa. All of us have different levels of commitment that we're engaging in. Have you ever been in a place of a commitment, something you said yes to? It could be something really small, like I'm just reading the scripture today, or what are all those extra readings for today? Why do we need so many volunteers? Maybe it's a small commitment, or maybe it's a much larger commitment. Maybe you said you would stand in and stand in as a silent protester for someone who is seeking asylum. Maybe you said you would be a part of a prayer vigil for violence that happened in your community. Jesus was in this moment fulfilling his yes to take on the flesh and earth suit and be a representation of God's word alive by encompassing it in a body. And then he was about to go through a moment of deep sacrifice. And he wanted some people around him. He wanted his friends to be close. And so he invites them into this garden space. He invites them into this place of the Gethsemane, the place of the olive, the place of pressing, the place of oil. He invites them into this place and he's like, I know what I've got to do, but can you just be with me? Have you ever been in a time in your life where you're like, I know what I got to do, but I just would like some company. I'm not asking you to take it on for me. I'm not asking you to do it, but could you just hang out with me while I do this difficult thing? And that's what Jesus was asking of his disciples in this moment. And as he is asking them to be awake with him, they keep falling asleep. They keep dozing off. He's in this tension of, Father, can you take this cup from me? Must I do this? Must I continue with my commitment? And then checking on his friends. Do I have any backup? Do I have anyone who's with me as I'm about to take on this thing that is so hard? As I'm even feeling isolated from community, I just wish someone would stand and be a watch for me. And each time Jesus goes and he asks them to be with him. But there's something else I believe that is happening in that moment, that Jesus, who's always doing something that is accessible and transferable, not only was Jesus asking them to stay watch, but he was doing a training. Can you imagine going through this really hard moment? Probably this is something that we do if you have children or young adults or people that you mentor, right? Where you're like, you're in a hard thing, but you use it as a teachable moment. So Jesus is in this hard moment, but yet he's also teaching in this moment. And he's saying, I'm telling you, stay awake, watch, and pray. Because I know that the thing that you want to do, I know that you have good intentions. I know that we are friends. I don't no longer call you just a servant. I'm calling you a friend. So friend, stay in this with me. Because as you stay in this and watch and pray, it will do something in you for your tough moment. It will train you for when it's your turn to sit in the difficult, yes, the place that you've committed to, and there is this, can I drink this cup? Can I drink the cup of my own commitment? When I was growing up, my parents, you know my mom, Addie Banks, that's my mom, and my dad, and growing up in a PK, pastoral kid family, my parents never put the church burden on me, like, you're the pastor's kid, behave yourself. You know, they didn't do that to me. And I think that's why I kind of stayed in my, throughout my life in my church journey, because those weren't my issues. I had other issues of development, but those were not them. And so I would often see, grew up in a Mennonite, or I say Anabaptist home table, where there was always lots of hospitality, welcoming strangers, inviting people to come. Someone new would come to church and my dad would say, Addie, we're having this person over for dinner. Right? That was just kind of the way it was. And so I started wanting to be a part of service, service to community, service in my church. And there were times when I'm like, okay, now I don't, actually, I said I wanted to do that. I don't want to do it anymore. And my parents never made me do something or sign me up for any service. They never said, I put your name on that list. You're going to volunteer. They never did that. What they did was say, if you made the commitment, you must keep it. So if I signed up to help out at children's church and decided, no, I don't want to do it anymore, they would say, well, no, you're going to do it because you signed up for that commitment. And that became a teachable moment, a teachable journey for me. And I think that Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples that there are some things that as you've been following me, you've kind of signed up for. Peter, there's some expectations. You're going to have to carry this on. I want to prepare you even in this difficult moment. How to handle this, how to handle your yes. Part of that is to watch and to pray. And I thought about this moment, like, well, maybe they had a long day and they just were sleepy. And sometimes when you're stressed out, you're more tired than others. Have you like, you know, like that was a good sermon, but I dozed off because it brought me into rest. Not that the person was boring. I just have been so busy and this is the first time I've sat down all week. And so, how, stay awake, okay. But I think as Pastor Jason, I believe, says often, finding these new rhythms. How do we create rhythms throughout our week and every day for rest, for re-energizing, so that when we are called to task, to stay awake and to watch and pray, we can do it. What might we do this Lenten season to stay awake to the prophetic voices, to the voices who need companionship, who are in their tough moment of service, of witness to their community, and need someone to stay awake? How do we stay in this place of watch and pray so that we can have an Anabaptist witness in the context of violence? Violence, random violence, and random injustice, unwarranted, undeserving, that shows up in our neighborhoods, that shows up in our world, that shows up in war, that shows up in people having to flee their homes, taking nothing, being displaced because of many isms. How do we stay awake? And so Jesus says this moment of like, stay awake, watch and pray. And I like this contrast that happens. I want to reference this from John 18:10. When the betrayer has finally come, then Simon Peter in John 18:10, Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew the sword and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off the right ear. So what else was Jesus maybe teaching in that watch and pray? So they slept during the prayer time, during the watch time, right? And again, they are Jesus's company. They are his friends. And what do friends want to do for us? They want to defend us. They want to jump in. Jesus wanted them to cultivate something else in the watch. He says earlier in this text, the tempter is coming. I want you to be ready. I want you to be able to respond as pacifists. They use that word. I want you to be able to have a nonviolent response. I want your passion to be transformed into a new witness. So watch and pray. As I get ready to kind of close, I want to highlight Vincent Harding. As this afternoon, as you were hearing these different activists and leaders and preachers and community engagers that were read out, thank you for all those who were willing to do that. Those were the voices in their moment that were inviting people to stay awake. Who are the voices in the congregation that maybe you've heard their voice over and over and over again? You're like, here you go with that again. Is there something there that's inviting MMF to stay awake, to watch and pray? I invite you, when you hear something over and over that you want to become intolerant about, that you want to sleep on, as the kids used to say, hey, don't sleep on me, don't sleep on that. I invite you to say, Holy Spirit, is this something that we need to stay awake on? Is this a prophetic utterance that's coming to us? Is this a MMF alarm clock moment to stay awake? And if we're not sure, and I think this is what Jesus was doing in the garden, that teachable moment. They weren't sure about everything. So he says, watch and pray. So when we're not sure, instead of just like dozing off, like, all right, enough of that already. How do we come into community companionship to watch and to pray together? I think about one of the early leaders in the Mennonite church in the U.S., who was inviting the church to stay awake and to watch and to pray, Vincent Harding. Vincent Harding, who family was of Caribbean descent, his mother, I believe, from Barbados, I think his dad from Jamaica, who went to Morris High School in the Bronx, which was not too far away from where I grew up, then went on to some of Columbia, NYU, a journalist. He's done such great work. And it's very fascinating because if you look up Vincent Harding, and I would encourage you to do this, look up his biography. He passed on in, I believe, May of 2014. There's nothing in his biography online about his work with the Mennonites. It's not in there. But if you look in Mennonite Anabaptist history, and I have this book I wanted to even refer you to, Daily Demonstrators, the Civil Rights Movement in Mennonite Homes and Sanctuaries. If you haven't read this, this might be a good read for you or a small group at the church. And it's written by Tobin Miller Shear. But if you look in Anabaptist history, there are certain marker points where Vincent Harding was asking the Mennonite church to stay awake, was asking the Mennonite church to wake up. Vincent Harding found himself one time, I mean, his story, for time's sake, I won't go into it deeply, but one of the critical moments for me that connects even to this garden moment is that Vincent Harding, over time in his development, he connected with Dr. Martin Luther King, and as maybe many of you know, he even was one of his speech writers, and he joined him in protests. And so one of the protests were in Albany, New York, and at this time, Vincent Harding was working for MCC, by the way, creating a pathway for Mennonite Central Committee to begin to work with the Mennonite Church on racial justice issues. And so Dr. King called up Vincent and he said, there's some things going on in Albany in this protest, and we need to keep this protest kind of like Anabaptist, the Anabaptist way. We need to keep this protest as a reminder of the way that Christians want to lead change. And so Vincent Harding goes up to this protest, and he's there and he's praying on the steps of the courthouse. And he is arrested. And he spends 3 days in jail. And it was actually his supervisor at the time who got the bail money when he was with MCC. And actually, by the way, MCC now I work for MCC as executive director of East Coast, doesn't really like people to get involved in protests. So as I was doing this research, I said, you know, I'm gonna have to go back to them about the history here. Where did that start? And Vincent Harding, though, used that moment after 3 days in jail because he was standing in peaceful protest, praying for change, committed to stay awake and watch. It began to change his commitment to movement. It began to push even against the barriers in a new way of the Mennonite Church. He was pushing against them in a way that he had never pushed before around the commitment in which drew him initially to the Mennonite Church. And what Vincent Harding says drew him to the Mennonite Church was this self-sacrifice. He grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist that was part of the African or Black tradition of the Seventh-day Adventist, which was really rooted in scripture, but really rooted in justice and liberation through education and upward mobility. But yet he meets the Mennonites on his journey and he is drawn into this self-sacrifice, this commitment to nonviolence, uncompromising refusal to place the state before the church, and radical commitment to the Christ of open arms. This is what drew Vincent Harding to the Mennonite Church. And yet when he has that moment of staying awake and praying on those steps and becoming arrested, the church got a sore spot. The church felt more about shame and upset about being connected to politics than being reminded of these convictions that drew him in. And that began Vincent Harding's separation journey from the Mennonite Church. I'm gonna close here, but he goes to this Mennonite World Conference. When he goes to Mennonite World Conference, coming out of that experience, Dr. Harding, again, encourages the church to not be silent. He even uses such words and invites them to be unwavering and uncompromising. And at that time, there was some change, but people didn't really want to be that awake. And so I invite you, as you're on your Lenten journey, as I'm on my Lenten journey, what are the moments that we are being drawn in to stay awake? I invite us to keep on this journey, where there is space for such rhythms, to read the histories of those who have been forerunners of the church. Where did the church choose to hear them? And where did the church try to keep them silent? What does the Lord want to say through us? And who will become our company of friends and witnesses and companions as we have to say yes or make certain commitments that might make us feel alone or isolated, but we know we need to stay to that commitment. Who will be our companions? And how will we travel together to stay awake? And will we speak when we are invited? And maybe sometimes when we're not. Will we listen to the voice of the person who says the same thing over and over that we have dismissed for so long? But maybe there's something there that is designed to keep us awake. On our journey of community, Christian community, followers of Christ, the third way community, let's stay awake and create in this Lenten season the rhythms of health and wellness and grounding so we can stay awake when we need to be awake. When we need to be awake. God bless you all. Thank you for letting me share with you this evening.